Hello and welcome to another edition of History After Hours. My name is Kevin Pumphrey, and with me, like normal, is Mr. Ron Franklin. Jeremy Nixon is not with us because this is a special podcast we're going to do. We are recording this on April the 3rd, and what we're going to do in this podcast episode is we're going to reflect on a spring break trip that we took to Paris, Normandy, and London. We're going to have some students who went on the tour a little bit later joining us. And then at the end, stay tuned and you will be able to hear from an interview that we recorded, I guess we were in Paris, with our tour director. Alec Lemaire is his name. He's a Canadian who actually took us all over Europe. And so you can talk or you can listen to kind of what he thinks about these tours and all that. So with that, here we go. So, Mr. Franklin.
Hey.
Let's talk about the tour. So, how many times have you been on these tours?
Okay, so this is my third time to go to Paris and London, but the second time to go to Normandy. So, that we didn't get to do that on that first trip. I think it was only an 8-day trip, the first one that I took.
Yeah.
And so that canceled that part out. We had But I honestly think this was the way to do it, the way we did it this time. Because before we did the Eurostar, you know, we went under the channel tunnel.
Do the ferry.
Ferry was great. Yeah. So anyway, but yeah, so third time, and it's fun. I tease a little bit because we've got friends who are like, well, how many times have you been there? I'm like, well, you know, it's my third trip, whatever. And they start to roll their eyes, you know, at that point. And they're like, why do you keep going back? Well, the reason I keep going back is that I see new things every time.
Oh, yeah.
And we get to take a new batch of people with us, you know? And it's always really fun to see other people experience something that you know and have seen. And maybe, you know, I've seen the Eiffel Tower several times now. It's still stunning, but not like that first time I saw it. You know, I'm not gasping every time I look at it now as I did the first time. But it's still freaking amazing. And then I get to watch other people be amazed by it. And so that's why I want to keep doing these.
Oh, yeah. And these trips, it's not like we do the exact same thing. We see a lot of the similar stuff, but you're always learning something different. You see something you've never seen before.
I have to be careful because I don't want to come off as aloof, you know? People go, you know, my third trip to Paris, I saw although that's kind of a running joke in my art history class. The last time I was there, I saw
See, I don't get to bring this up in my class because it's a U.S. history class.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't know how many times I've done it. I've really got to go back through my records and see how many times have I been to Paris.
You were doing this like 8 years or something before I joined in, I think.
Yeah. Here's my origin story. I was at Sheridan High School coaching and teaching, barely hanging on, didn't know much history at all, but I had an unbelievable mentor, Mr. Bill Remo, who you've met. Mm-hmm. And he came up to me one day and said, you're going with me on these trips. Like, it's going to make you instantly a better teacher. And I'm a homebody. I'm used to enjoying my spring break at home, just lounging around, whatever. This was really going against my character, my innate sense of being alone, to go on this tour. But you know what? I did it, and I traveled with him a few times, and it did. He's exactly right. It changed my approach to life because I'd never really left the country much. I'd never traveled much at all. And so we're talking 2002, 2003, and I've been traveling ever since, and I do a lot of the same tours.
Well, that's kind of the way you hooked me, though, because I think a couple of years before, you had said, hey, man, you should go. Kind of gave me the Remo speech, probably. Yeah. It'll make you a better teacher, this and that. And I'm like, yeah, I probably should do that someday. And
I don't even remember. So do you remember me? Did I come up to you and just say, hey, you should go?
Yeah, yeah. You guys were going to, I don't remember which trip you were taking. It was a spring break trip, though. I do remember that. And you had said something about it. And you should try to go sometime. And I was like, yeah, yeah. I'll put that on my list of things to do. Mm-hmm. And I didn't take it like super seriously because I'm like, yeah. I mean, I really thought I would someday, but I didn't know if I had understood now, or I guess if I had understood then what I understand now about those trips, I would have jumped on it immediately.
Right.
Because I see so much that value. The first trip I took was when you guys went to Italy. Mm-hmm. And we just explored that. And that was eye-opening. Just the beauty of the landscape and the people and the culture. And then you come back and you start teaching about it.
Yeah.
Stuff you've taught for years. And, I teach about the Roman Empire, and you think about all the different things that roll from it, and then the reconfiguration of Italy as a modern state and the different wars or whatever it is you're studying. But to have walked in the same areas and to be in those historic places and just to get a feel for the land, honestly, one of the things I liked best about that trip was that we rolled through the landscape in Italy that time on a bus, and you get a real feel for the land and how it lays out, and you can see it all, and it's, you know, as it unfolds before you. And I'm a big geography guy anyway. And so that was just really like, okay, I get it. I get it on a different level. You know what I mean? And then you meet the people, and it's just, it does it. It makes you, I'm a much better person because I can say, okay, this next to this. If you go here, I show them some picture, right? Like, if you go around that corner, there's this thing.
Absolutely.
You know, and it just makes more sense. It's like putting those puzzle pieces together.
Yeah, I think you can be an outstanding world history, European history teacher without traveling, but it will make everyone that does it a little better. Like, you'll get better.
Yeah.
No matter how great of a teacher you are, when you go and see it, it just makes things more real. And, you know, I feel bad for teachers that either don't have the opportunity, didn't even know this existed, these trips, and they teach history, and they don't realize that you can go to these places. You can see the landscape is still there. Some of these buildings are
and
still
there. And it's fairly easy to get done. I mean, it's not super expensive. There is a cost. That's we're not going to deny that. But at the same time, it is. I realized that I got so much for my money. It was more than I expected. I learned more. I experienced more. I became a better person. I came home a different me. Yeah. I came home a better me. And that's one of the things I try to tell kids when they're thinking about maybe going on this trip. Like, if you can at all swing it, you should, you know?
Yeah, it's a rich experience. Alec, our tour director, kind of, he's going to go into why he does it. And he has a really good look at why people should travel. But of course, the old saying, EF Tours is the company we go with, and they cram as much as you can cram into these tours to see as much as you can see.
That's what I'm talking about, bang for your buck. Like, you're getting your money's worth plus.
And they have a good like phrases like, if you never travel, that's like having a library full of books and just reading the same book over and over and over again. And when you travel, it opens up new doors, new possibilities. And really, you know, it does. I mean, it's so corny to say, but it does kind of make you a better person.
You know, I heard a quote since you said that, and I don't know who said it, so I apologize. But if you are a person who buys great books but never reads them, you're no better off than a person who can't read or doesn't read.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wow. So if I'm a teacher who could travel, but I don't, then I'm no better off than somebody who just sits inside a cave and, right? I'm very isolated. Like, this really has. And like I said, I thought I was pretty knowledgeable person, but it's just so much more connective. The connectivity, I think, is greater.
Yeah, you make connections. There's been several times on the trip. I remember one time we were in the Vatican, and we were taking a tour of the Vatican, and they started talking about the Pope and how they're elected, and they started bringing up some financial stuff that's involved, and me and you both looked at each other, and I think we both made the same connections that we'd never really thought of. You know, when they do the conclave and all that. And so it's just like those little moments that you wouldn't have learned sitting at home, or you won't learn from a book, but you got to go see it and then have a tour director that's actually from there say these little things. And these people are so knowledgeable. I mean, to be a tour director, they know just about everything you could possibly imagine. So this was Paris, Normandy, and London. We've been several times. I go back to these same places because they're so rich in history. It's something the kids are interested in. Is there any highlight to this tour what was the highlight for this time for you?
The fact that we were able to stay in Normandy for a couple of days and experience that. Because before, on that first trip that we took, we bussed up there, saw it during the day, and then bussed back. So it was an all day, you know, and you're worn out by the end. This time, we got to go up and stay and just really experience the area. Because it is very different than the hustle and bustle of Paris.
Oh, yeah.
And the surrounding areas, the metro sort of area where, you know, millions and millions of people are. Like, this is sort of like quaint countryside. You get to see the farmland. You get to see how different that experience can be. And it was just peaceful. You know, I really liked that a lot. Plus the fact that we got to go to Bayeux and see the tapestry. Oh. I had always been wanting to do that. I think on that first trip, I was bugging you about it the whole time.
Yeah.
Dude, it's right over there. We could go. It's just, and you're like, we don't have time. We can't make the trip. It, you know, it wasn't part of the package. This time we made that happen.
So that's super one thing happy. That I learned. Every time I do this trip from now on, we're going to stay in Normandy and we're going to take the ferry across and we're going to spend time in these. We went to the Cannes World War II Museum. Mm-hmm. We went to the beaches, the American Cemetery.
We got to visit the William the Conqueror's castle there in
Cannes. Yeah, the cathedral. Oh, yeah, the castle. Yeah.
Yeah, so I didn't know that. And then when he talked about when we went to Tower of London, you know, and it was the same stonework. I'm like, holy crap. Because I've seen Tower of London, but I'd never seen this other thing.
Yeah, because the white stones. Yeah, it's an amazing trip. And I can't say enough about it. Let's talk for just a moment, I guess, about next year's tour. Because there could be people listening to us and saying, hey, I want to be a part of this. Well, you know where we live. We're here at Lakeside High School. You can get the information. You can email us or whatever. But we have decided next year, during spring break again, because we love the cold, I guess, we're going to do Scotland and Ireland. And basically, we're going to do Ireland, and then we're going to go to Northern Ireland, and then we're going to go across to Scotland and visit the major capitals.
That's going
to
be cool. Yeah. The castles tour. That's what this is going to be. Castles and cathedrals.
Yeah, castles especially. I think we're going to get to see quite a bit of the countryside. We're going to take another ferry.
See, that matters to me, man. I think on the ground, like I know we can get places faster if we go by train or whatever. And I think there's a certain appeal to traveling by train or even by air, you know, jaunting across. But really taking it a little slower, those bus rides that we take through the countryside to get from one place to the other and getting off in some of the smaller towns and that ferry ride. It's a fun experience, you know, and it's not like these car transport things, you know. That's kind of what I had pictured the first time you told me that. I was like, oh my God, like it's going to be terrible. Right. But these are like little mini cruise ships. You know?
You can stretch out. Like that's what's so much better than the Eurostar under the English Channel, because it's like a plane. You're crushed. Yeah. But on a ferry, you can walk around. They've got all sorts of stuff. You can go out, you know, and enjoy the view. Dublin, we're going to be landing in Dublin, and then we're going to go north to Belfast.
Didn't you say there's a possibility we could be landing on St. Patrick's Day?
There's a possibility. I got to check the calendar. I have done that before. I've landed in Dublin on St. Patrick's
Day. Interesting, yeah.
Yeah, because we visit St. Patrick's Cathedral, so, you know, we're going to be talking about that stuff. So to do it around St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah, even if we're close to that time frame, it's going to be...
Right.
Yeah, rocking and rolling.
Yeah, the cathedral, the Book of Kells. I mean, there's going to be a lot of great stuff. And then going to Belfast, there's a Titanic Museum.
Across
to Edinburgh, Scotland. And we do get to see some of these castles. And you can, you know, when you're standing on the castle of William the Conqueror, it's standing on the, you can kind of imagine what it must have been like. I mean, so we're going to get that experience.
Yeah, on this last trip, when we went to Tower of London, I guess it was there before, I just missed it. Where the area where they had executed Anne Boleyn, they've got like a little memorial to her now. Mm-hmm. And maybe it was there before.
I mean, you know, I can't catch it all.
Yeah, right. It's a lot. But so, yeah, but to stand and go, wow, because I've known that story forever, seemingly, you know, the six wives or whatever.
This is where she died.
This is it. Yeah.
On that spot. That's the thing. Like, we're so isolated in America sometimes, and all the big stuff in world history, because it happened so long ago, it always happened over there somewhere. And now we get to go over there.
Well, but it's also abstract. I mean, even though I've heard those stories a bunch of times, but I build a picture in my head of what I think it was like. But then to see it, it's concrete. There's real evidence now that I can back up the images in my head with change them to fit what it really is. I was like, oh, I didn't realize it was this. That's what I was talking about a while ago about the approximations. This is next to this is next to this. And I can see how it all moves together in these different stories that I already know.
Yeah. And you've done Torture Day in class. Well, now you go to the Tower of London and you can go to the torture room and see the real deal.
Come see the rack.
Yeah.
The shackles. I don't want to be any part of that for real, but it's interesting to see it.
I mean, I always envision what it must have been like. That's the cool thing about these trips is you're walking in the same footsteps that these people you teach about. And I try to just close my eyes and think, what was it like to be here 1,000 years ago?
Don't we do that as history teachers anyway, though? Like, was it like? I mean, even people who aren't history teachers, you just know your own family stories, possibly. And you go, well, what was it like when you were young, grandpa, or whatever? And they tell you, and then you kind of imagine that. Well, if you were able to walk through their footsteps, and this is where we used to live. There's a nostalgia to that.
Yeah.
Well, for a lot of folks, and I think especially on this, I think that's going to be one of the appeals about Scotland, Ireland, is that there are a lot of people around here who do have either one or both those heritages in their family dynamics. And so I think the trip's going to be really appealing just based on, I want to go see this place that I've heard so much about. And you've been to Ireland, yeah?
I have, yes. And it's great. It's awesome. It's beautiful. It's green. Exactly what you kind of envision. But then there's going to be some surprises, things that you know, like you said, what the size of Dublin, what the streets look like, the old Temple Bar area. And it's a different culture. You know, Ireland and Scotland are going to be a different vibe than what Paris was like, than what Normandy was like. So it's also just being around the people
mm-hmm.
and getting, you know, that sense of their heritage. Because like you said, a lot of people were Scots-Irish that helped found a country. You had the potato famine that drove a lot of Irish mm-hmm. people to America. And so we have a rich history connection with this part of the world. So I'm excited. All right. So we're going to talk more about this and we're going to take a short break. We're going to have some sponsors. No, we're going to take a short break and we're going to actually have some students come in and talk about their experience with us last week in Paris, Normandy, and London. So stay tuned.
All right. So we've got some special guests with us here, some students that have come along on the trip with us, and Pumphrey will join us again here momentarily. But basically, we wanted this afternoon for random students to come in and talk about what they experienced on the trip, what they liked best about that, and just sort of general reminiscences. And also, maybe an appeal to other students who may be thinking about that. Like, you know, based on your experience, would you encourage other people to do the same kind of trip with us in the future? Because we are talking in this podcast also about the Scotland-Ireland trip and kind of promoting it a little bit too. So either one of you wants to start. It doesn't matter to me. You just go for it.
Okay. I'm James Orme. And this was my first trip with the history teachers here at Lakeside. I really enjoyed it. It was particularly going and seeing all the historical sites up in France and in England was something special to me, honestly. I mean, I've always loved just European history and like seeing it firsthand, seeing paintings and landmarks that, I mean, you don't see anything like it here in the United States. It just, it's such an experience. I definitely recommend it to anyone who wants to go. I mean, personally seeing like the Palace of Versailles was something incredible. I mean, just thinking about who was in there, who lived there, who it was built for. And just, I think personally that was my favorite thing we visited, probably that in William the Conqueror's castle,
you know, over like, in Caen,
just like, you know, the presence of where we were, like who was there before us and like what they did there. That personally was like part of my favorite. The art was cool, but I was more of the history than the art. But yeah,
so more about the place rather than some of the decorations on the place.
Yeah,
the history above the decor. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the Palace of Versailles was like, you know, it was like plated with gold. Like everything was plated with gold. I mean, that was cool, but like, I definitely just kind of appreciate
it. Okay. So did it meet your expectations? Like when you, cause I know you probably had an idea of what you thought you were going to walk into. Like what were those expectations met or exceeded or?
Definitely exceeded. Like I just like, you think about like how, what people live in today, like you think about like how people live today, where they go to school, where they spend their days. And then you see how people used to live their lives back then. And it's just something completely different. Like it's everything's bigger, like, and wealth of course plays a huge part in it. I mean, it plays a part of, you know, where you live today, but like, I mean, just wealth, like, and you had to show you had wealth. And that's just something that, I mean, you can't really, I mean, you might find, you know, someone who lives in a big house somewhere, but seeing, you know, Louis XIV's, like, you know, house being bigger than any other building I've ever been to, you know.
Kind of puts a whole new spin on that Sun King thing, right?
Yeah. No, he was an interesting dude. I personally, even like, with the artwork, you know, like not many people were, from what I remember, not a lot of people were inside unless it was like a party. And there were like how many people worked there at a time for him as servants?
Yeah, just thousands. Yeah.
Yeah. It was like there were, when people came, they came to like, you know, see what they had, see how successful they were. I mean, maybe not successful, but how much they had
mm-hmm.
and how much they could rub in, you know, to other
anything
people.
In Normandy or London that stands out to you?
The natural beauty in Normandy and the beaches, I think that was something, the countryside of France is, I mean, I've been to the countryside in England, but the countryside in France is just a little bit, it's just something more. It just kind of feels, it feels warmer. I mean, of course, the sun's out a little more in Normandy, but it was just something else. I love the natural beauty there, just how quaint all the little towns were that we went to. In England, I mean, I've been there several times throughout my life, but London's always kind of felt like a home, because a lot of people are like, the people I live with at my house. Like my mom and dad are English from Birmingham, but you know, they act a lot like the people in London, you know, because I mean, not many people act differently in London. I mean, than they do in Birmingham, I guess, but yeah, a lot of the same.
Yeah. So it wasn't quite as novel to you as some of the other stuff, I guess.
Yeah, definitely not. I mean, I remember everyone going and being like, oh, these people are going to be all so mean to us. Like, oh, they're like, oh, these Americans coming to the country. Everyone is always nice. I was expecting, you know, well-mannered people, maybe more proper than what we're used to. But, you know, everyone was pretty nice there. And I'm kind of used to that different kind of hospitality.
Excellent. All right. Yep. Thank you.
My name is Liam Jeffers. Cool. I almost feel like I should be like, welcome to NPR podcast, but I don't have a lot of time right now, but I will say that I've been on one of these trips before, and it was just as exciting as the last time. I feel like traveling has so much benefits to it, and just the learning experiences that you can get with it. Not even just, and EF Tours is great, but of course, this next tour is Ireland and Scotland, and I've been to Ireland twice just because I have family there, because I'm Irish American. And simply just going places, even if you don't have the ability to go to a lot of different like sites at once, is great. But it's even, you know, with EF Tours, it's greater because you do get to go to all these places, and they organize it very well. You're able to do so much in the span of a week. It's great. Great company. But
did you have something that stood out to you on this particular trip compared to the other ones that we've been on?
I will say something that was more unique to this trip. James was talking about it. The landmark, just the cities that we were in general, it was a lot more special. I feel like that last time it was specifically like the specific locations that we were going to, but specifically France, especially Paris, just the city itself. It takes on such a character and has so much history attached to it, especially for me, since I'm a huge labor history nerd, and so much has happened in that city. Every crevice of that city is just filled with stories and a certain atmosphere. It was just great. I loved it. But even more so than that, I'm a huge fan of like art history and art in general. This tour, especially in France, definitely it focused a bit more on art, and it was captivating. I mean, it's one thing to look at art and study it and just to see it on a screen. It is so much more to be able to walk around a canvas and see the brush strokes and see it physically there. And not just that, but to physically look for it and venture out for it, only to finally find it in these crowded museums. It's such a, I don't want to get too philosophical, but it's just a great experience. And I talked to my friends who aren't, you know, I've taken art history with Mr. Franklin, it's a great class, but they haven't. But even they had moments of just, whoa, you know? And I was very happy about that, and I'm glad that they had those experiences too.
I'm glad that kind of stuff stands out to you. This trip was especially important to me too, because I had not been back to these cities as an art history teacher. When I had gone before COVID, that class wasn't part of what I had been teaching. Even though I've seen some of these artworks in the past, I saw them with fresh eyes, if that makes sense. I saw them in a new way. I learned to read them better than I had before. And it was really a joy to be there, especially when some of you guys saw some of the things for the first time too. I'd see people in passing and like, oh, did you see this? And we'd run back and forth. And, you know, that interaction was pretty cool too. So that was special for me as well.
Again, like the historical monuments that we visit, going to Normandy was such a mix of emotions, because on one hand, you're so like, there is sort of a wave of depression, but there's also this huge wave of hope to see that Normandy is, spare a few craters in certain places, it's intact and it's generally free. It's not under Nazi control, you know, to see the aftermath of something horrible, but now see that people are able to live there freely. It's just, for me to be able to go there and not, you know, be imprisoned by Nazis. You get what I mean. It's like there's something liberating about it, literally. because it was liberated.
In history, we oftentimes focus on the storms that come through societies and civilizations, and we focus on those hardcore negativities.
Yeah.
I think that we need to do a better job of talking about after the storm passes and and trying to right the wrongs and to heal. Sometimes we don't focus on those as often. On to the next battle.
Yeah.
Sometimes. Yeah. But yeah, I agree with you, though. It's I think Kevin and I had this conversation once before. The first time I stepped on the beach at Normandy there at Omaha Beach, I can see in my head the tragedy that was this upheaval of human against human and society against society. The torture and torment of that day compared to the beauty of this really nice, pristine beach and these beautiful cliffside places and these small, quaint towns, it's hard to rectify those dual images in my head because they both exist simultaneously for me.
Yeah.
You know, we know that this happened, but then it's look at how nature's reclaimed and people have come back. And you know, there was a guy out there parasailing, basically.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
With the little, what, I don't know what we call that thing, the little sand buggy thing he had, you know. And then guys, they're playing with their dogs, you know, and yeah, people having a good time. So, no, I get what you're saying about that, the reclamation.
Just being able to see people, like, live their lives, and especially, like, seeing the monument on the beach and everything. It was just, it was sort of similar to in Italy. I went to St. Peter's, and I had this just moment of, like, absolute just, like, enthrallment. And I think that happened there. But, you know, of course, it was in a building. It was just, like, a natural beach. But still, even then, like, the history just was, like, whoa.
It's monumental in its own way.
Exactly. Yeah, you're right, though. Yeah. No, France was beautiful. England, I've been to Ireland, so I'm not trying to sound rude, but England was sort of just like an Americanized Ireland. But it was still great. It was awesome. I was, and I hate to say this because I hate stereotypes, but I always heard stereotypes that people from London are rude. They're not. They were extremely nice the whole time. I don't think I ran into one rude person there, which was a shock to me because, again, you hear all these stereotypes. I felt very comfortable in that city and, like, very safe, which is really nice.
I know you weren't turning into a monarchist, though.
I kept my Republican ideals, to say the least. But other than that, other than my main gripe with England, it was very nice to visit as well.
Yeah, pleasant. All right, excellent. Yeah. Awesome. I'm glad you had a good time.
Of course, yeah. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, well, I'm Ellie Oldrick, and it was just such a memorable experience. The best part for me was that I understood what we were seeing. Taking Euro this year, I understood this was what this is for, this is what this means, you know, and I think that just changed my whole outlook on everything we saw. Like, somebody commented after when I got home, the museums must have been so boring. I'm like, what are you talking about? It was just really incredible. It made me going to the art museums, it made me wish I had taken art history so that I could learn the context behind so many of the paintings that we saw.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, just with Euro this year, I just had a better appreciation for everything that we saw there.
Was there something that you were particularly looking forward to on the trip? Because I know we kind of previewed what we would be seeing. Or did you just kind of go, yeah, I'm here to experience it all, like...
I remember Pumphrey last year saying that standing in the Hall of Mirrors at Versailles was, like, overwhelming. And it was just like, you're in this hall where so many famous people must have been at some point in their life at such monumental occasions. And, you know, we walked in. First, I'm, like, overwhelmed by it. Like, it's beautiful in there.
Mm-hmm.
And then we walk in, we're listening to the guide, and my heart just starts going faster and faster.
Oh, nice.
I'm just like, oh my gosh, I'm going to cry. It was incredible. Liberty Leading the People, that painting was just seeing it in person. I mean, in France, it was incredible.
Were you having flashbacks to the revolutionary stuff we've been talking about?
Yes.
In Euro? Yeah.
Yes, I don't remember who I was with. But I was, we have to go find this painting. Look, she's like that because of this, and the light is on her. And this was actually after this revolution, but it was leading up to... I might have been going a bit overboard with my excitement there, but it was so great.
Were you impressed with the size of it too? Because when I first saw it, I didn't realize how big that painting is.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, that one. And we knew this one would be small, that one would be big. Like the Mona Lisa, you'd said it was pretty small.
Mm-hmm.
But the other ones, you know, we see them on the Promethean board, and then we see them in person, and it's way bigger than you imagine, mm-hmm. right? So that was also, you know, kind of shocking.
Did you have a particular museum you cared for more than others, or did you kind of like them all about the same? Because I know that they each have their own personality and character.
Yeah. I mean, the Orsay was nice because it was smaller, mm-hmm. but it still had so much to it. The Louvre, I mean, we were walking through, and I'm like, can you imagine living here when it was a palace?
Right.
I was like, you could live here your entire life and never see every corner of this place. I didn't really get to look at the National Gallery much, but, and then the British Museum too, that was a maze. Mm-hmm. That was really cool. But I think out of the three of those, I think my favorite was the Louvre.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you prefer London or Paris or Normandy? Since we talked about the three.
It's a tough one.
I know.
You know, I did like London more than I expected.
Yeah?
Yeah. Movies portray everything in a certain light. And so I was like, London, I don't know. They eat beans on toast.
Which they do.
They do, actually. Yes. They eat beans on toast. It always rains there. But we got there and I'm like, holy cow. It was actually really nice, coupled with the fact that I could, like, talk to everybody and understand them.
That's
really nice.
That's a bonus, yeah.
Yeah.
Did you learn any French for the trip?
I did, like, 3 weeks on Duolingo. Got to, like, Unit 2.
Okay.
So I knew how to say, like, cat and horse. That was helpful.
Did it help you with the menus at all? Not cat and horse, no. I don't mean.
No. Orange. And chocolate, which are basically the same.
Yeah.
No, I guessed on a lot of the menus with my little Spanish knowledge.
Okay,
I
there you go.
Equated
yeah,
right. it there.
What about scenery? You talked about the museums. What about scenery?
Scenery is really cool. The scenery in Paris, I liked because of how real it was. It wasn't, we talked about this when we were getting on the ferry, but I liked how Paris was so real. It wasn't a movie. The lighting wasn't perfect. There was trash everywhere. People were,
yeah,
there was
the protest,
construction.
Yeah, we got yeah. to talk about the protest, yeah.
We saw an aerobics, like, class.
Oh, yeah.
In front of the Eiffel Tower. I'm like, it's a real city with real people. It's not make-believe. The whole world just seemed real to me.
My wife teaches elementary school, and some kid was, she was talking about where they were going on a trip or whatever, and he was like, that's not a real place. And she said, yes, it is. I've been there. Because that's kind of what you're talking about, though. It's mm-hmm. it's like, it's in the movies, or it's, you know, yeah. or it's this fanciful thing in a book, but it doesn't, maybe unapproachable for a lot of people. And mm-hmm. I mean, and I think I was that way when we, before I went too. You have an expectation, but then the reality is, to me, it's much greater than even the fanciful versions of it, you know?
Yes. But Normandy was beautiful. The little hotel we stayed at, mm-hmm. like the night we arrived, I was just like, the sun was all red and pink and... It was just really pretty, and I like the countryside anyway. So I think I liked Bayeux and Winchester more than the big cities, just because they were smaller and there was, like, land around it.
More accessible, maybe?
Yes, yes.
We've had a lot of people express that same thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's cool to see Paris. It's cool to see London. They are iconic. But mm-hmm. but the down-home sort of feel of the countryside is very appealing.
Yes.
You know, and maybe it's because we live in a pretty natural state, you know.
Yeah.
But I mean, to me, it's nice to be able to compare those two things. We're in the big city, and then you kind of get outside and see something that's, you know, mm-hmm. a slower pace, and it just seems more real sometimes in that
yes.
way too. Both the other guys talked about their expectations on people being rude or not. did you see that people were pretty accommodating and helpful?
Yeah, people were very nice. You know, they say Parisians are rude. Everyone I met with and was nice. Of course, they were usually like at a cash register or something.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like you said, say hello to them, be polite. And, you know, that makes everyone nicer when you're nice to them.
Yeah, right.
But no, I didn't have a bad experience with anybody.
Any advice to people who are thinking about going on a trip like this?
Take the opportunity. You never know when you'll be able to again. I'm heading off into college now. You know, gonna surround myself with debt for the rest of my life. So I'm glad I had this opportunity to do it. Mm. I mean, and it costs, you know, more money than what I'm used to spending. But fortunately, I'm blessed enough to have a family that encourages such cultivating ourselves mm-hmm. around the world.
So the expenditure you think was of worthwhile and valuable?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. That's what we want it to be. That's what I hoped your answer would be.
Yeah.
Yeah, excellent. So, all right. Well, any closing thoughts then? Or
I had something, but I forgot it.
That's okay.
So that's all. That's it.
That's all good. All right. Well, I'm glad you got to go. And we had a really good group. Mm-hmm. I think I told you guys this, but everybody bragged about how knowledgeable you guys were and how prompt and polite. And so it's probably been one of the best tours we've taken. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
I'm glad.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, we are sitting in a hotel in London, England, with our tour director. His name is Alec Lemaire, and we're going to ask him a couple questions about what it's like to be a tour director and how he got in this. So, Alec, if you could tell us a little bit about your background, first of all.
Sure. Yeah, I am a Canadian expat, and I left Canada after completing my undergraduate studies on a 3-month bicycle tour of Europe, which turned into an 11-month bicycle tour, which turned into an extra year in London, which turned into another year in London. And fast forward 12 years, I've lived in London, Belgium, and presently live in Seville in the south of Spain.
So when you were younger growing up, did you have a tendency to want to travel, experience life? Was this something that you think you just fell into by that? Like, what propelled that decision just to... Like, here's a better way to frame it. When you arrived, what was it that clicked in you and think, I want to stay here. I want to travel a bit more. I'm not ready to go back and start the proverbial traditional life, you know? Mm. Was there a moment or was there an experience or a group of experiences that really helped, you know, motivate you to want to do this? Because this is not an easy job, and the amount that you travel and experience, it's not for everyone.
Sure. Yeah. Certainly not for everyone. I think a formative experience was doing some traveling with my grandparents when I was quite young. That was more to national parks, local travel. And then when I was in university, I had the opportunity to work with the Canadian Coast Guard, but that was on the west coast of Canada, British Columbia. That was the first time I left home for an extended period of time. And it was just... experienced a sense of adventure there, and I think I've always been a little predisposed to that. Even my dreams as a young boy were always adventure based. They still are today. I always find myself in a canoe or on a mountain or on a trail on a bike, something like this. But for me, it's very exhilarating to experience new places and new cultures and get outside of your comfort zone, and you have to. Yeah, I guess I just find it very, very exciting and very, very intellectually satisfying to travel.
So how long have you been with EF doing tour?
It's my 12th season with EF tours. And in typical tour season, I would visit maybe between 12 and 15 countries.
You might be the most historically literate tour director I've ever had. You know a lot about history. Did the travel inspire the love of history? Or did love of history make you want to travel? Or is it a combination? How do you feel that combination happened?
Well, my mother was always a big lover of history. And I grew up in a small town called Fort Erie. Funny enough, there's a fort there. National Historic Site from the War of 1812. And during I was a high school student, I worked as a guide and interpreter there. So I would lead tours in first person dressed as a British redcoat, retelling the stories from the Napoleonic era. I did have a bit of a historical context coming to Europe and a fascination of that period. But I didn't start actively reading history until I graduated university. And it certainly complemented the lived experience here and helps put things in context. Yeah, it's certainly been the most enriching area of study that I have pursued.
Having been in this job for 12-ish years, like, what do you think is the most rewarding part? What keeps you coming back to it time after time?
It can appear to be an exciting job, and it certainly is, but it is also an exhausting job. The days are long and pretty demanding, and things often go sideways. And one of the great things about travel is the adventure aspect and the unpredictability. But when you're traveling with large groups of 40 or 50, or my next tours will be 100 or 150 people, mm-hmm. things are going to go sideways.
So it's the thrill of almost going off the edge every time that keeps you.
yeah. Maybe it's just adrenaline I'm looking for. But no, jokes aside, it really is the groups that I work with. Most of the teachers have traveled before with EF, and they know that it's best to bring the good students. So I get to work with students who are well-educated and engaged and traveling in Europe for the very first time. So I guess experiencing the world through them just fills me with a lot of hope and optimism. And also, you know, living abroad for so long, I'm quite far from my culture, and this is a great way for me to reconnect with home.
Oh, yeah. I didn't think about that.
In an interesting way, your job is very similar to ours. I mean, we have to follow set curriculum, and you have a tour guided, you know, package that you offer. But at the same time, it is about teaching cultural connections and not trivial information, but there's a little bit of that. Hey, well, did you know this thing? You know, but I think if I haven't spoken with you this week over and over, it just seems like we keep coming back to that same, the intrinsic element of teaching new people about these things. And maybe you've seen them 1,000 times, but watching someone else engage with it or understand it for the first time, that seems pretty thrilling.
Yeah, outside of I'd love to visit your classroom. I imagine it's a pretty special place. It's been really wonderful getting to travel with you two. But I always say that travel is the ultimate classroom. It really facilitates the building of personal connections with the subject matter. Once you have a personal connection with something, you tend to retain it and become curious and want to pursue it further.
So, yeah, I mean, on that exact same note, if you can extend that, on the bus ride home tonight, you were giving some advice to students, kind of your potted summary of why this is important. Could you repeat, and you're on the right track right there, could you just kind of summarize, you know, if you had to tell students,
especially for students who weren't able to come on this trip,
right, for the students that might hear, what would you tell them to, you know, that you'd like to tell them?
Sure, definitely. Well, I think there's many ways to measure wealth and success. Experiential learning is certainly one of those. And I feel that my experiences living abroad and traveling have given me a perspective on things that's enriched my life in such a tangible way. And this is something that I want to pass along to others to try and give them a glimpse of this. Because once they have a little bit of experience of what travel is like and how accessible it is, you give them the tools to incorporate that into their life, and they'll become better informed individuals. And by them becoming better informed individuals, they'll be able to help others. And the pursuit of knowledge and passion is something that's tremendously rewarding. It fits into that idea of lifelong learning. I do feel that many people don't have that opportunity, and they always put it off into the future. And this is a great opportunity for students to understand that this is something that they can incorporate into their lives and really live their dreams.
Well, I just want to say thank you so much. You're one of the best we've ever had, if not the best. Keep doing what you're doing. And even if you don't do this, do something. Keep teaching history, because I think it's important too. And I hope our paths cross again.
Yeah, likewise. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Excellent.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.